A famous Chinese scholar once came to America to lecture. And during the time of his teaching tour, he was met at a busy metropolitan railroad station by a university host. The host said to him, "If we run quickly, we can catch the next train and save ourselves 3 minutes." To which the scholar quietly asked, "And what significant thing can we accomplish in those 3 minutes that we save by running?" A very good question that really has no answer. I don't know, is it just me, or does it seem like life anymore is just full of constant hurrying and rushing and scurrying and ceaseless work? There's just something to do, there's always some work to be done. We're so busy that we often forget to rest. And yet we need to remember that our Creator God is not a slave driver. He desires that we experience and enjoy rest. And the Bible has a great deal to say about the subject of rest. So today, let's pause. Let's take a breath. Let's kind of relax and focus our attention upon four different aspects of rest found in God's Word, the Bible. First of all, let us note the origin of Sabbath rest. The origin of the Sabbath. We could also look at this as God's interrupted rest. In the verses we read, and I call your attention to again in Genesis chapter 2, we read again, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done and noticed. He rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it," notice, "he rested from all his work which God had created and made." Here we find, first of all, the first mention of rest in the Bible. What we today would call a Sabbath. It's the seventh day. Now, it's interesting. As we look at this account, the seventh day is different from the other days. Those were creation days. And so every creation day, you read it, was the evening and the morning of the first day, the second day. You don't find that here. You just find it is the seventh day. And God had ended his work, and he rested. And notice, he blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it. You don't see that about any of the other days either. He blessed it and he sanctified, which simply means he set it apart. And so he instituted what we refer to as the Sabbath. Now, the word Sabbath is not found here in this passage. You will not find the word Sabbath until you get to the book of Exodus. But Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, which means to cease, to stop working, to rest. And interestingly enough, it is related to the Hebrew word for seven. So on the seventh day, there is ceasing of work, there is rest. Now, we need to recognize that God did not rest because he was tired. The creator of the universe that would cast out the galaxies into the universe, the creator here that would work on the subatomic level to have the movements here in the protons and neutrons and electrons, the God who created all of life and everything there was, he didn't get tired. He didn't get exhausted of his energy. No, not at all. So that's not the meaning here. And it is intriguing that the Hebrew verb for rested does not mean to cease in the idea of sense of recuperation from physical exertion. He didn't rest because he's exhausted. It means literally to stop, to cease, to abstain, to not work. So it denotes here the cessation of work or labor. So God did not rest because he was tired. Rather, because he rested because his work was completed. All the creation was done, and he was satisfied with what he had created. In the last verse of chapter 1, verse 31, we read, "And God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good." So God now, he's satisfied. He's ceasing. He's completed his work. And he rests. And in doing so, God set us an example. He set us an example. We work, then we rest. And he established here a pattern for weekly work and rest. Later on, that would be included in Israel in the Sabbath law. Work 6 days, rest on the seventh. But we find one other thing about God's rest. God's rest was interrupted by man's sin, requiring him to work again in redemption. Now we know that because in the New Testament we run across a time when the Jewish leaders are accusing our Lord Jesus Christ, and they're basically saying, "You have broken the Sabbath." And he replied in John chapter 5 verse 17, "My Father worketh hitherto and I work." He says, my Father, God in heaven, he works. Well, I thought he'd stop working. Yes, but when man sinned, God had to enter again into a new work, a work of redemption. And I find this worth noting, that in the book of Psalms, it says that the creation is the finger work of God. Think of our children. Remember having them get colors and hand painting and stuff? They would do the finger painting. Creation is God's finger painting. But then it goes on to say in Psalms that redemption requires his mighty right arm. It requires his power. Think of it this way. Creation was child's play compared to God's work of redemption. He did far more work in redemption and salvation than he did in creation. And so here we find the origin of the Sabbath rest, God's interrupted rest. Secondly, let us note the commandment of the Sabbath. We could call this Israel's covenant rest. You don't run into what actually is the Sabbath until you get to the book of Exodus. And there we find God making a covenant with Israel as a nation. And at the beginning of that covenant, we find Mount Sinai and the giving of the law. And the Sabbath is given to Israel as a covenant relationship there on Mount Sinai. The command to keep that is part of the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 10. God commands Israel, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you will labor and do all your work, but the Sabbath day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work." Now, if you were to fast forward to the last of the historical books of the Old Testament, the book of Nehemiah, you will find in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 14, that Nehemiah is speaking to God and says, "You made known to them, the nation of Israel, your holy Sabbath, and commanded them precepts and laws." It appears, and some would disagree, but as you look at the Bible, there is no indication that Adam or any of the patriarchs in the book of Genesis ever observed Saturday as the Sabbath day. God had set this day apart, but they did not observe it until they were told during the time of the Exodus to observe it. Now, we do note again that the Sabbath is based upon God's rest at creation. When he's giving the Ten Commandments, he went on to say in verse 11 of Exodus 20, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." God works 6 days, six literal 24-hour days. He rested on the seventh day, and he's telling Israel that man is to work 6 days, literal 24-hour days, and to rest on the seventh. Now, let me ask you a question. If God says this to Israel, and if they are now to do these things, and yet we don't find Adam keeping the Sabbath. We don't find Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or Joseph keeping the Sabbath. Why is it given such prominence in Genesis chapter 2, being set apart, being blessed, being sanctified? Who did Moses write the book of Genesis to originally? The Jews. When did he write it? During the time of the Exodus, when they're out in the wilderness. And he writes this to the Israelites because now they have left Egypt and they're going to be preparing to enter into the promised land. And he's telling them here a basis for which they are to keep the Sabbath day and observe it as a nation. And so as he writes the book of Genesis, he's throwing that in all the way back here so they'll remember, now that they've been given the Sabbath, that it was established by God all the way back then and now given to them as they've left Egypt. And it's based upon his creation week. Thirdly, we notice the Sabbath was specifically for Israel. And I want to emphasize that this morning. The Sabbath was given to who? Israel. The Sabbath is distinctly a Hebrew institution. Exodus chapter 31. Verses 12 to 13, and you might jot these down because this may come up in conversation with some people because there's a big movement at different times today of saying, you know, we need to get back to keeping Saturday. So think about this. It was given to the Jews. Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 and 13. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak also to who? To the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you will keep. Now notice, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies or sets you apart. Exodus chapter 32, the very next chapter, verses 16 and 17. Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual, unending covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 and 15. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. And remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt. Who were slaves in the land of Egypt? Were we? No, Israel was. And the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. And even the prophet Ezekiel says in chapter 20, verse 12, God speaking, moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, that they may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. God gave the Sabbath to who? The nation of Israel. It was part of that covenant relationship. None of the other nations were ever condemned in the Old Testament for not keeping the Sabbath day. They were condemned for many other crimes and many other sins, but never for breaking the Sabbath. Why? Because it wasn't given to them. The Sabbath was one of God's given ordinances that set the Jews apart from the other nations, showing that they were his covenant people. Now, let's admit this up. The Sabbath was continually broken throughout the Old Testament. From the very beginning, the time of Moses, the Jews broke the Sabbath day. The very first mention of Sabbath is actually right before they get to the Mount Sinai. And they're told, I'm giving you food. Here's manna. You will go out, and for 6 days you will gather manna. On the sixth day, which would be Friday, gather twice as much manna, because on the seventh day there will be no manna. It is a Sabbath. It is a rest day. But some of the Jews still went out to see if there was any manna. They broke it. We also read in Numbers chapter 15 of a Jewish man who went out gathering wood on the Sabbath day and the punishment that came upon that. The Jews continued to break the Sabbath. If you go through the idea of the history of the Old Testament. They broke the Sabbath over and over. It was one of the aspects the prophet said, you keep breaking my Sabbaths. And again, in that last historical book of the Bible, book of Nehemiah, we read in chapter 13, verses 17 through 18, that Nehemiah, as he sees the Jews breaking the Sabbath, cries out to them, what evil thing is this that you do, by which you profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers, your ancestors, do thus? Didn't they break the Sabbath? And did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on this city? And yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. They continued to break the Sabbath all the way through. By the time you get to the New Testament, the Jewish people, especially the religious leaders, misunderstood the Sabbath. And they corrupted it. They saw how their ancestors had broken the Sabbath in the Old Testament. And so they said to themselves, we're not going to break the Sabbath anymore. And so we're going to be very strong on the Sabbath. And they begin to build human traditions as fences around the Sabbath to interpret it. So nobody would ever break the Sabbath. And so by that time, they had made the Sabbath day a dreadful burden on the common people, because they'd added a multitude of man-made traditions. The Pharisees even accused Jesus himself of breaking the Sabbath. And they accused his disciples one day of breaking the Sabbath because they were going through the grain fields, probably the barley or the wheat fields, and they were plucking some of the grain, rubbing it in their hands, blowing off the chaff and eating it on their way going to synagogue. And they said they've broken the Sabbath. Well, what did they mean? Because according to the rabbinical view, the rabbis, when they plucked the grain, they were guilty of reaping. When they rubbed it in their hands, they were guilty of threshing. When they blew off the chaff off of it on the sides, they were guilty of winnowing. And so they were working all the way through. They'd broken the Sabbath three different ways just by getting a little piece of grain and throwing it in their mouth. The extremes actually to which the rabbis went bordered upon insanity. It was, let's say you have a clay jar. And you see on the Sabbath day, that Saturday, that there's a little crack in that jar, a little hole, and out of it is running some oil. If you were to take a little piece of wax and put it into that hole, you've worked. You have broken the Sabbath. If you have a wound, a sore on your arm, and you were to wipe it off, you broke the Sabbath. If you were to take a loaf of bread from your house and take it over to your neighbor's house to give them, you broke the Sabbath. If you had a light burning in your house and you blew it out, you broke the Sabbath. Now, you could look in a mirror, but if you saw in the mirror that you had a white hair and you reached up and you plucked out the white hair, you worked. You broke the Sabbath. Do you see how far they went in trying to define it and how they made it such a burden on the people? So man had taken that which was to be a blessing under the covenant relationship and had made it a curse under the law. Thirdly, we've looked at the origin of the Sabbath. We've seen at the giving of the idea of the covenant relationship, the commandment of the Sabbath. Let's move on into the principle. What principle can we learn from the Sabbath? That is our believer's current rest. Jesus says in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was meant to be a blessing to man, not man to be a slave to these Sabbath laws and the traditions that the rabbis had added. Well, let's think about the Sabbath for us today. Some believe that we should still keep Saturday as the Sabbath. Now, let's be honest. What day of the week is the seventh day? Saturday. Because I know some calendars like to begin the week with Monday because that's the work week, but the week actually begins on Sunday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then the seventh day is Saturday. And that's the Jewish Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. And so they say to us, see, the law says you must keep the Sabbath. You need to keep the Sabbath. What day is the Sabbath? Saturday is the Sabbath. you need to keep Saturday as God's holy day of rest and worship. Now, who would say that? Well, the Seventh-day Adventists say that. Did you know there are Seventh-day Baptists which say that? And today there's a renewal of what we might call the Jewish Roots Movement that says, you know, we need to get back to our Jewish roots. Well, I agree that we need to understand and look at the Old Testament and see in the New Testament and see the Jewish background of that and understand that. But that doesn't mean we're put back under the law. But the Jewish Roots Movement would tell you, we're not under the law, but you do need to keep Saturday as the Sabbath. Now, others would tell you, no, Sunday is the Christian Sabbath. And if you've ever read any of the old sermons or different things by some of the older preachers, you will see them referring to Sunday as the Christian Sabbath and keeping the Christian Sabbath. And you might run into that even in some of the writers today. They teach that the Sabbath day was moved from Saturday and moved to Sunday. And therefore, when we come together here, we're keeping the Sabbath. But that results in a question. Who changed the Sabbath? Well, the truth is, no one did. Saturday is still the Sabbath day. Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath. The point is this. We as Christians no longer observe the Sabbath. We observe what the New Testament calls the Lord's Day. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul writing to the Colossians, and they are dealing with the idea of Judaism coming into their church in a form of it, in this kind of Gnosticism coming in. And they're being told, you need to keep the Old Testament laws, you need to keep the Sabbath days, you need to be circumcised, you need to do this, you need to do that. And Paul says in Colossians 2:14 that these rules, these regulations, have been nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. And then he says in verses 16 and 17, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substances of Christ. All of those things of the Old Testament law pointed to Jesus Christ. He came and fulfilled it. He is the substance. Now, if some of our brothers and sisters want to keep Saturday as the Sabbath, that's their right. And we're not to judge them. But they're not to judge us for keeping the Lord's Day and not keeping the Sabbath. In the book of Galatians, which was written especially because the Galatians were being taught, you need to be Jewish if you're going to be saved. He wrote in chapter 4, verses 9 through 10, but now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days, that would include the Sabbath, and months and seasons and years. He says you're putting yourself in a slavery position. You have freedom in Christ. See, the point is this. Today we keep Sunday as the day of Christ's resurrection rather than Saturday as the Sabbath commemorating creation. There is a difference in meaning. Please listen. If you keep Saturday, you destroy the meaning. The seventh day of the week, Saturday, is the Jewish Sabbath. It symbolizes the old creation and the covenant of the law. What happened? First you work, you labor 6 days, and then you have a day off, a day of rest. Now, the first day of the week, Sunday, the Lord's Day, symbolizes the new creation in Christ and the covenant of grace. First, you believe in Jesus Christ, who worked for you, and then you experience and find rest in Him. And that, on that Sunday, and then after that, you work for Him. Not for salvation, not to earn a place in heaven, but rather out of love and gratitude, we serve God. So, when we have Saturday as the Sabbath, we're thinking of the law. First, we work and we work and we work and then we rest. It's almost as if somebody's saying, I'm going to work my way to heaven. And you can't do that. And that's why throughout the entire Old Testament, the Sabbath was broken over and over again. You can't earn your way to heaven. But when we keep Sunday, we are saying, no, Jesus did it all. All to him I owe. He died. He did everything. He rose from the dead. He procured my salvation. And I trust him as Savior, and I'm saved. He did it all. And now, in that rest, throughout the entire week, I can worship him, I can serve him, I can do things for him, I can labor for him, because I've already got salvation in Christ. That's the difference. Not law, but grace. Now, the Sabbath still has a principle to teach us, though. The Sabbath gives us a principle of taking a day off for rest. We should still gather together for worship. We should still gather together to learn God's word. But also, we need times of rest. Jesus set us an example of this. In Mark chapter 6, the disciples had been out evangelizing. They've been going to city to city, spreading the gospel of the kingdom. And now they come back to God. They come back to Jesus. And in chapter 6, verses 30 and 31, we read this. Then the apostle gathered to Jesus and told him all the things, both what they had done and what they had taught. He said, look at all this work we've done. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while. Don't you like those words? Rest for a while. God says, you don't have to just keep working. He didn't say, okay, get back out there and get working again. You don't need to stop work, 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 work. He says, no, come aside. Let me teach you. Let me be with you. Let me fellowship with you. Rest for a while. But some will say, Pastor Pate, Satan doesn't rest. Yeah, but since when is Satan our example? Others will say, well, you know, I'd rather wear out than rust out. Well, amen. But either way, you're out. Why not take a day of rest and come back to the Lord's work of energy and focus? Listen to me. Thus, we're not under legal obligation to observe the Sabbath day, but we're still wise to observe a Sabbath rest. Now, for some, Sunday could not be a day of rest. Doctors, nurses, policemen, emergency workers. Maybe your job would say, you know, Saturday, Sunday, you just have to be at work. But that doesn't mean we can't take another day off as a day of rest. And we're wise to have a day of rest where we break that constant work cycle and do something different and rest. Lastly, let's think of the fulfillment of the Sabbath. The fulfillment of the Sabbath. We could call this the redeemed future rest. Each of us who know Christ as Savior, each of us who are saved, each of us who are redeemed, today enjoy a salvation rest. The writer of Hebrews says in chapter 4, verse 3, for we who have believed do enter into rest. When we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, we rest from that fruitless efforts we were trying to earn salvation. You can't do it, but we worked and we worked to God, I'll earn my salvation. No, in Jesus Christ, he did it all. We rest in him. J. Vernon McGee says it well. As believers, we enter into rest. That is, we enter into his Sabbath. We enter into his perfect redemption. He died on the cross 1900 years ago for you and me. And he offers us a redemption that we can enter into. I do not even need to lift my little finger in order to be saved. Jesus did it all. And if you know Christ, we've entered into that rest. It is simply unbelief that robs you of salvation. If you think, no, I got to work, I got to work, I got to work, you're not believing the message. And if you are here today and have never accepted Christ as Savior, today, he says in chapter 4 of Hebrews, verse 7, is the day of salvation. right now accept Christ. Rest in Him. But what about those who have already accepted Christ? We're resting in Him. But secondly, the redeemed will ultimately experience an eternal rest in heaven. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Here the writer is looking into the future, and he sees a time when all the people of God are going to find a heavenly rest. Now that doesn't mean that we're going to sit on clouds and just the entire time do nothing. No, we're going to do things, but it's not going to be a labor. It's not going to be exhausting. We're going to be resting in Him and having this beautiful, wonderful time of experience of the future. The word for rest here is the Greek word sabbatimos. You can see the idea of Sabbath. It means to keep a Sabbath. It's nowhere even used elsewhere in the New Testament. Some think the writer of Hebrew coined the word itself and used it this way. When the saints enter into heaven, it will be like sharing in God's Sabbath rest with all of our labors and battles ended. So much more to learn, so much more to be able to experience and do, but it's a time still of rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11 says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." The writer is saying simply to us this, let us make sure that we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior while we can. There is no second chance after death. Today is indeed the day of salvation. Do not refuse to enter into that heavenly rest because of unbelief in Jesus Christ. Yes, God wants you and me to experience rest. Physically, He desires for you to rest and be refreshed in this life. But even more so spiritually, you're to rest and be refreshed because you have a relationship with Him. He longs for you to know Jesus as your personal Savior, to rest in Him, and ultimately to experience being with Him forever. Listen again to the sweet words of Jesus Christ and His invitation. Come to Me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. We look back at Eden and we think to ourselves how wonderful it must have been for Adam to have walked with God, to have fellowship with God, and enjoyed rest with God in the Garden of Eden. But how much more wonderful will be the day when we stand in Christ's presence and we enjoy the eternal rest of heaven. The songwriter said it so well. What a day that will be when my Savior I will see, when I look upon His face, the One who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, oh glorious day, that will be. Our Father, we thank You providing us rest in Jesus Christ. Salvation is a free gift by grace alone. And we look forward, dear Lord, to the time when we will be in Your presence and enjoy rest with You. Father, in this time we have on this earth, may we labor for You. May we enjoy times of rest. May we take times of rest. But dear Lord, in this time, may we also work to see souls saved, to see Christians grow. Dear Lord, to bring glory to You. But how we look forward to the coming of Jesus and resting in You and with You forever. In our Savior's name, amen. Let's stand. And let's close with a song. My Jesus, I love you.
Dismissed, but you have a wonderful